T-minus 48. Ford McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. Standing in the Ford McCarthy Residence with only an alien for company, it wasn't lost on William Godfrey that Earth's first family of contact had placed a level of faith in him that would have been utterly unforeseeable just a short while earlier. After all they had collectively been through in recent years, with various international organizations and issues of contention having driven them apart at some points and closer together at others, as the winding path of history took its course, Godfrey was more than a little glad the path had taken him here. Not under the current troubling circumstances, of course, but given these were the circumstances he found himself in, he was certainly happier to have the McCarthys on his side than up against him. Had this consideration been made those few short weeks earlier, it would have rested upon the dual factors of Dan McCarthy's unshakable public popularity and his wife Emma's irrepressible knack for navigating crises and frequently managing to emerge victorious from challenges which others would have been content to merely escape in one piece.
"Things have certainly changed a lot," Leisha said, catching Godfrey by surprise with the telepathic comment.
Godfrey, for his part, had gotten so used to the presence of the previously mind-bending telepathy uplift patch on the back of his neck that the only surprising thing now was the timing of Leisha's interjection, rather than the fact he had so clearly been listening into Godfrey's thoughts since their arrival. After nodding in agreement for a second, Godfrey's expression suddenly changed. With no one else around to listen in, and having lacked enough faith in his inexperienced telepathic ability to try to direct a thought only to Leisha while the others had been present, he asked a question that had been on his mind for a while.
"Level with me here, Leisha. Is Kendrick gone? If that's a time gate, like your engineer said, you can't really be thinking of crossing it again, can you?"
"A promise I make is a promise I keep," the honorable alien replied, not missing a beat. "I told Billy I would return to bring him home. It may not be tomorrow night if I truly have to assist with anything on New Kerguelen before crossing the gate once more, but my promise wasn't quite so time-sensitive as that. As long as it remains possible for me to cross that gate, I will cross that gate."
"Do we know anything about the relative passage of time on either side of the gate?" Godfrey asked. "Do we know for sure that Billy won't feel like he's been there for a week, or a year, or be dead because time passes so much faster? I'm not too big to say I don't know what makes sense and what doesn't, but I don't think any of us are in a position to assume anything the data doesn't guarantee."
Leisha paused, choosing the wording of his reply carefully. He and Godfrey were standing by the edge of the McCarthy's kitchen at the usual teleportation point, conversing silently in a manner that would have looked extraordinarily bizarre if anyone unaccustomed had been there to witness the process. A one-on-one meeting between Earth's highest-ranking politician, by most considerations, and the de facto leader-in-waiting of New Kerguelen would have been news in and of itself, without question. The fact that their topic of conversation was nothing less than a discussion about some degree of time travel having recently been proven possible, meanwhile, would have undoubtedly been the biggest story since the confirmation of intelligent alien life in the first place.
"There are no guarantees," Leisha qualified. "But the data in the mothership's logs does suggest that, in some manner we don't yet understand, the craft's instrumentation, and by extension, we, seemed to be present on Sanctuary for longer than we seemed to be absent from New Kerguelen."
Godfrey scratched his head, utterly bamboozled.
"So if Dan had been wearing a watch, say he leaves New Kerguelen at noon, spends what seems like 3 hours on Sanctuary, which his watch confirms as 3 hours, then he gets back to New Kerguelen and the watch still says three. Would the locals say they think he's only been gone for 2 hours? Am I in the right universe of thinking here?"
"Not exactly, but the mothership's metaphorical equivalent of a watch recorded data that does suggest that kind of variability. Needless to say, further deliberate testing would be needed to draw firm conclusions. But to be perfectly frank, I don't understand the basics of these concepts, let alone the intricacies, and neither does Khajiit. Moving through, or even across time, has never been something our species has considered, at least since the architects began constraining our mental development with their imposition of the caste system maintained by the perceived wisdom of our supposed elders.
When Leisha spoke of these latter topics, his words always came across as somehow being sharper than normal. Godfrey couldn't miss this, and nor could anyone else.
I don't know, Khajiit, the ICA chairman stated.
Oh, Khajiit is the engineer who noted the initial discrepancies in the data logs, Leisha replied.
His browless eyes then widened in reaction to something Godfrey clearly lacked the sensory acuity to perceive.
Everything okay? Godfrey asked, speaking out loud for the first time in the conversation, as he and pretty much every other human tended to do when something startled them or otherwise brought about a rise in adrenaline.
Leisha nodded, slowly and to some degree reassuringly.
I feel their presence. They're almost here.
It hardly sounded like everything was okay, to Godfrey's mind, but Leisha certainly didn't seem to be faking his own level of calm.
This is why we're here. Well, this is why I'm here. You, I'm less sure.
Godfrey grinned, truly eased and more than a little amused by the first intentional use of humor he'd ever witnessed from any of the messengers. His laughter brought a smile from Leisha, confirming that he wasn't misreading the lighthearted comment.
You know it's not because they doubt you, though, Godfrey said. Don't you? It really is about the oddness of how we humans can interpret things, especially relative to what we might perceive as the oddness of what you do. Buenos Aires was the classic example when you...
I know what I did,
Leisha said, all humor lost in the fog of regret.
And I do know why I need you here, but thank you for the thought. Thank you for being here, too. I would feel alone by myself.
I would feel alone by myself. William Godfrey felt this sentence tumble around his mind, gaining deeper meaning with each rotation. To almost every extent, Leisha was alone, the only one of his kind anywhere but on their home planet, literally untold miles away on the other side of a gate built by the technologically advanced race who had enslaved, deceived, and betrayed them for millennia. Leisha was also now somewhat distant from his closest and most trusted personal friends in the shape of Dan, Tara, Clark, and Emma, standing in the home they usually filled with a man who, until now, hadn't presumed to consider himself a friend.
We are friends, Leisha said very plainly.
This simple comment struck the ordinarily detached Godfrey just as firmly as the last one. For all the messengers' advanced technologies, which he recognized weren't truly theirs, and for all their differences from humanity, every private moment William Godfrey spent with Leisha was making him see more and more clearly that, on the inside, he really wasn't so alien after all.
How close are they?
Godfrey asked, unsure whether he'd just heard the faint hum of a car or if his mind was playing tricks on him. He had the wisdom to whisper despite his adrenalized body again instinctively speaking aloud. Stunning Godfrey with a new gesture, Leisha brought one of his right hand's two wide finger-like divisions to his thin lips in the apparently universal sign for quiet. Godfrey gulped.
They're not close, Leisha replied as silently as ever. They're here.